Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, September 25th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
stocks in China fall with no relief from the trade war in sight.
At the same time, President Trump strikes his first major trade deal.
Italian bonds rally amid word of a budget compromise.
And Sweden's prime minister is voted out of office.
Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh says he has never sexually assaulted anyone and isn't going anywhere. President Trump addresses the U.N. General Assembly today. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. A win for the Yankees at Tampa Bay. Monday Night Football saw the Steelers beat the Buccaneers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at IBKR.com.
U.S. futures are following European stocks higher. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points. Dow futures up 34. NASDAQ futures little changed. DAX in Germany's up 0.25%. So is the FTSE 100. The CAC in Paris up about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32. Yield 3.10%. Yield on the 2-year 2.83%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 39 cents to $72.48 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 40 cents to $1,204 an ounce. The euro, $1.1765, the yen, 112.83. Bob.
The U.S. and China are digging in for what could be a long trade war. Beijing says it's open to talks, but not with Washington holding a knife to its throat. Ewan Murray is head of investment for Hermes Investment Management.
It looks to me like we will at least get to year end with the current level of tension, with a quite strong possibility of escalation to 25% tariffs across the board going into 2019. Now, that will begin to have some real impacts on the global economy, and we will see those directly impinging on growth.
Sources in China tell Bloomberg that Beijing doesn't think substantive negotiations will be possible until after November's U.S. midterm elections.
Trade concerns continue to dominate sentiment in Asia. Chinese equities sold off today and stocks in Japan gained, while Hong Kong and South Korea were closed for a holiday. Bloomberg's Juliet Solly has more from Singapore.
The TOPIX notched up its seventh session of gains in Tokyo, the longest winning streak since October, as the yen held near a two-month low against the greenback amidst policy divergence between the BOJ and the Fed. The CSI 300 in China fell after resuming trade following Monday's holiday, with developers leading the decline there. Elsewhere, copper in Shanghai gained, the Aussie dollar weakened for a third session, and stocks in Sydney closed flat. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Juliet. President Trump has struck his first major trade deal since entering office. The U.S. and South Korea signed a renegotiated agreement on the sidelines of the U.N. General Assembly, though analysts say the changes to the deal are largely cosmetic. William Reich is a senior advisor to the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
It's good for the president because he accomplished something. It's not a huge change from the existing agreement. He got something on cars, something on steel, both of which he wanted. I think from the Koreans' point of view, they were relatively modest concessions. You know, expectations in Washington for these things these days are pretty low. As long as nothing bad happens, it's a good day.
South Korea expects the renegotiated trade deal to take effect January 1st.
In Italy, bonds are rallying after reports of a compromise on the nation's budget. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. The 10-year Italian yield rising by the most in more than a week following a report from La Stampa that Italy's budget deficit would be 1.9%. Now, that's below the European Union limit of 3%, and that's even below the 2% that Finance Minister Giovanni Tria would be willing to allow, according to the report. Five-star leader Luigi Di Maio has also backtracked from a suggestion that France's 2.8% deficit should be copied. The coalition needs to publish its 29 budget targets by Thursday. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Sebastian. Bonds in Sweden are falling after Parliament ousted the country's prime minister. Stefan Löfven was voted out by Sweden's center-right and nationalist parties. BNY Mellon chief currency strategist Simon Derek sees the move as bullish for the Swedish krona. The vote sets up lengthy government talks with an unclear outcome for which the party will take power in Sweden.
Thank you, Bob. In Switzerland, Novartis is planning to cut about 2,000 jobs in the next 4 years. That amounts to 16% of the drug maker's workforce in its home market. And its shares of Novartis up about 1% this morning.
British American Tobacco has named a new CEO, elevating Chief Operating Officer Jack Bowles to the company's top job. The 54-year-old will take the reins at BAT beginning April 1st, and that has shares of BAT down 2% in London.
The founders of Instagram are leaving Facebook. Kevin Systrom and Mike Krieger have been with the company since it acquired Instagram in 2012. Now sources tell Bloomberg they're leaving amid growing tensions with CEO Mark Zuckerberg over the direction of Instagram. Shares of Facebook are down 2% in early trading.
Starbucks is planning an organizational shakeup, including high-level corporate layoffs. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
In a memo to employees that was seen by Bloomberg News, CEO Kevin Johnson said, quote, "We must increase the velocity of innovation that is relevant to our customers, inspires our partners, and is meaningful to our business." He says, quote, "To accomplish this, we are going to make some significant changes to how we work as leaders in all areas of the company." He says the leadership and organizational changes will begin this week and carry into November. He sent the email after the company held its quarterly town hall meeting in Seattle last week. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. And Comcast boosting its ownership of Sky above 30% yesterday. The company made market purchases at the price set at Saturday's auction, about 17.25 pounds per share. And Comcast is seeking to buy more again today after winning the British TV company with a $39 billion bid. And futures this morning are moving higher. S&P futures up 4.5 points, Dow futures up 44, NASDAQ futures up 3, and the 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 3.10%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 6:07 on Wall Street. Mr. Kavanaugh digs in. Bloomberg's Michael Barr has the latest. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh says he won't let, quote, "false accusations drive me out of this process." Republicans are accusing Democrats of a smear campaign using accusations by two women of sexual misconduct against Kavanaugh in the 1980s to try and scuttle his Senate confirmation. Kavanaugh on Fox says he never did anything like this.
"I've never sexually assaulted anyone. I did not have sexual intercourse or anything close to sexual intercourse in high school or for many years thereafter. And the girls from the schools I went to and I were
friends." So you're saying that all through all these years that are in question, you were a virgin?
That's correct.
Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand says the only way for a fair hearing is if other witnesses are called who have knowledge of these accusations.
The minimum that was done with Anita Hill isn't even being done here. They had an FBI investigation in that hearing, and they had over 20 witnesses to tell their version of events. And so, honestly, I don't understand how he could say to the American people he wants a fair hearing, but then not actually be interviewed by the FBI. A Fox News interview is not the same thing.
President Trump will address the UN General Assembly this morning. You'll hear it live on Bloomberg in the 10 a.m. hour. Yesterday, Trump met with French President Emmanuel Macron. According to French officials, the two found areas of agreement over Iran and Syria. Trump and South Korea's president signed a new free trade agreement on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly. During a signing ceremony, Trump said the agreement will address the U.S. trade deficit with South Korea.
"These outcomes give the finest American-made automobiles, innovative medicines, and agricultural crops much better access to Korean markets. I think our farmers are going to be extremely happy."
Democratic lawmakers renewed their calls for Republicans in Congress to pass legislation to protect Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian interference amid heightened uncertainty over Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein's fate in the Trump administration. Meanwhile, Trump and Rosenstein will meet on Thursday when the president returns to Washington. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Much obliged, sir. That brings us to 6:09 on Wall Street, and that is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. The Yankees and Oakland A's set to play a week from tomorrow, the one-game wild-card playoff. Technically, the A's could still win the division from the Astros, but Houston's magic number is only 2. A's clinched a playoff berth when the Rays lost to the Yankees 4-1 at Tampa Bay. It was Luis Severino's turn to start. Yanks want him to instead pitch tonight. Then he'd be more in line to start the playoff game if they decide to go with him. So they used 8 relief pitchers last night, the 8 combined on a 2-hitter. Andrew McCutchen homered, RBIs for Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and Brett Gardner, who with McCutchen's arrival has been relegated to coming off the bench.
Just been trying to get a good routine, you know, not playing every day, so just trying to, you know, get a good routine pregame and MVP, and then hitting off the machine in the cage during the game, and just trying to stay out in the dugout, cheering for the guys, staying locked in, and be ready for a day like today when I may need to go in.
Gardner also made a big play in the field. He came in when Aaron Hicks went out with a tight hamstring, not considered serious. D.D. Gregorius said he's hopeful he can play the playoff game despite his injured wrist. Red Sox beat the Orioles. That clinched his home field throughout the postseason for Boston. While the Yanks played in Tampa, there was also Monday Night Football there. First win for the Steelers. They held on and the Bucs their first defeat, 30-27. Pittsburgh's star running back Le'Veon Bell remains in a contract holdout. There's word the Steelers looking to perhaps trade the free agent-to-be and talking to the Jets, who on Sunday visit Jacksonville. The Giants Sunday against the Saints. Maybe without tight end Evan Engram, he left last Sunday's game with an injured knee. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. Tiger Woods was not the only big winner this past weekend. His first tournament win in more than 5 years drew a 5.2 rating on Sunday for NBC. That's more than triple the audience from last year and the highest-rated telecast in the 12-year history of the FedEx Cup playoffs. It was also the highest ratings for the Tour Championship dating to 2007. S&P futures currently up 4 points. That's a 0.1%. This is Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by the accounting and advisory firm Eisner Amper. Are you experiencing tax turbulence like most businesses? For a tax diagnostic and to connect to resources you need, visit EisnerAmper.com/tax turbulence.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing, providing the latest through leadership and with strategic and actionable insights to help you manage and grow your business. Visit the perspectives section of Pershing.com to learn more. 6:17 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump will take aim at Iran in his address to the UN General Assembly today. Meanwhile, Iran's President Rouhani tells NBC that U.S. pressure won't bring his government to the negotiating table. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh is defending himself, telling Fox News he never sexually assaulted anyone. Senate Republicans refused to delay Thursday's hearing, but have agreed to interview a former Yale classmate who alleges the nominee exposed himself at a party. President Trump has struck his first major trade deal since entering office. The US and South Korea signed a renegotiated agreement on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly yesterday. And Instagram's founders are leaving Facebook. Sources tell Bloomberg that Kevin Systrom and Mike Krager are exiting because of tensions with CEO Mark Zuckerberg. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Hannah George, thank you. S&P futures up 5 points this morning. Dow futures up 50. NASDAQ futures up 4. And the 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 3.10%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Deputy Attorney General Ron Rosenstein plans to sit down with President Trump Thursday after denying reports he discussed secretly recording the president and invoking the 25th Amendment. Trump is declining to say whether he plans to fire Rosenstein, but says he hopes Thursday's meeting will help him figure out what's going on. The attorney for a white Dallas police officer who fatally shot her black neighbor inside his own apartment says the officer's firing was premature and unfair. Amber Geyer is charged with manslaughter in the September 6th shooting of 26-year-old Botham Jean. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Red Sox beat the Orioles. The Nationals won along with the A's. The Giants lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. It is now 6:20 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Joining us is Kevin Cirilli, Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent. A very busy slate facing President Donald Trump today. He's addressing the United Nations General Assembly. We'll bring his remarks to you live during the 10 o'clock hour this morning here on Bloomberg Radio. And as that event is happening in New York, rumors continue to swirl around Washington about the future of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and the sexual misconduct allegations clouding the Supreme Court nomination of Brett Kavanaugh. Kevin, let me start with Mr. Rosenstein. He is set to meet with the president on Thursday. What do we know about where that long saga may be headed?
Well, it depends on who you ask, to be candid. Yesterday, President Trump speaking via telephone with Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and making plans to meet on Thursday at the White House, same day, mind you, as that Judge Brett Kavanaugh hearing in the Senate. Now, Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein's job is on the line. This following that New York Times report in which it was alleged that he suggested privately to wear a recording device to record his private conversations with President Trump, as well as to recruit members to President Trump's cabinet who would potentially be willing to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove President Trump from office. Now, Team Rod Rosenstein's camp says that he was just being sarcastic, that this ought not to be taken seriously. They refute the New York Times allegations. But prominent conservatives in the past couple of days have really suggested that President Trump ought to get rid of his deputy attorney general. That's being perceived, according to the sources that I talk to here in Washington, as a blow to Bob Mueller's investigation. It's also being seen as potentially an opportunity for Republican allies of President Trump's on Capitol Hill to interview the deputy attorney general under oath in congressional hearings.
And it has really sort of opened the door to the president actually taking action now.
Yes, absolutely. And no one truly knows what the president will decide on Thursday when they meet at the White House. As of now, there's been conflicting reports about whether or not he has offered his resignation, whether he's been forced out. We're going to have to wait and see.
A big Fox News interview last night for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Any sense of how the White House felt about his performance?
Well, they feel that they've really backed him. And yes, last night, Judge Kavanaugh saying that he's not going anywhere, that he fully intends to continue onward with this path. And I would make the case, and according to my reporting, I think Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is really someone who is driving the force here behind the scenes and communicating with some of these swing vote senators and Republicans like Senators Murkowski, Collins, Flake. They're really taking the initiative to really usher this nomination process through. The White House obviously has a role in terms of messaging, but procedurally speaking, the Senate Majority Leader has signaled time and time again that they still are backing Judge Brett Kavanaugh despite this, as Democrats are urging there to be FBI investigations and as Judge Kavanaugh faces new allegations of sexual misconduct, allegations that he denies.
The Republicans are very mindful of the possible political fallout from all of this, but you're suggesting that they seem to think that just going ahead and pushing this through is the best course.
Yes. I mean, according to the Republicans that I talked to, they feel that as of now, they would still have the votes. And you know, I mean, there's a lot of pressure, a lot of intensity on Thursday's hearing in a very, very politically tumultuous time, to say the least.
On the Democratic side, the pressure is on to still involve the FBI in an investigation of this. Is there any sense that that could yet happen?
No, there really truly isn't. The Democrats, of course, led by Senator Dianne Feinstein, the top Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee, have really been pushing for there to be more FBI investigations, to have these investigations concluded before there be any type of hearing, let alone a vote. Procedurally speaking, October 1st is when the Supreme Court reconvenes. And even if there were not to be a vote ahead of that to get Judge Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court, privately and publicly, even increasingly, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said that he'd be willing to have this vote in the lame duck ahead of the new Congress in January. So Democrats really, I mean, this hearing's scheduled for Thursday, and I don't see it being canceled.
Kevin Cirilli, Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent, thank you very much for your insights this morning. S&P futures at this hour up by 4 points. That is a tenth of 1%. 10-year Treasury prices down 430 seconds. The yield at 3.1057%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning to you. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and European stocks are higher, even as trade tensions in U.S. politics dominate headlines. Japanese equities climbed to the highest level since February, while Chinese shares fell after a long weekend.
China, meantime, says it's open to trade talks with the U.S., but Beijing won't negotiate with what it calls a knife to its throat. The vice commerce minister says U.S. trade restrictions are responsible for stalled talks.
President Trump now has his first major trade deal. The president and South Korea's President Moon Jae-in signed a renegotiated free trade agreement on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly.
Oil is rising again and trading near a four-year high as banks say prices may spike after OPEC and its allies rebuffed President Trump's call to boost production. Checking oil right now, NYMEX crude is up 0.5% to $72.50 a barrel, and Brent crude higher by almost 0.75% to $81.96.
Nike posts quarterly results later today. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger says forecasts are upbeat.
North American sales momentum picked up for the athletic wear maker in the fiscal fourth quarter, and Bloomberg Intelligence says it likely continued in the fiscal first quarter. Foot Locker and other sporting goods chains have had positive things to say about sales of Nike merchandise. Those comments point to an acceleration and suggest a high single-digit growth outlook for fiscal 2019 is achievable. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Jeff. Get ready for higher interest rates. According to a Bloomberg survey of economists, the Federal Reserve will raise rates tomorrow and continue its quarterly drumbeat of 25 basis point increases straight through to June of 2019.
And shares of Facebook are down more than 2% in early trading. Sources tell Bloomberg the founders of Instagram, which Facebook bought in 2012, are leaving after growing tensions with CEO Mark Zuckerberg.
It is now 6:32 on Wall Street. That's time for your volatility index report. The VIX rose yesterday to close at 1220. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is down to 1191. That's this morning's volatility report.
And futures this morning are higher. They're adding to their gains. S&P futures now up almost 7 points. Dow futures up 64. NASDAQ futures up 9.5. The DAX in Germany's up 0.33%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 3.10%. The euro, $1.1760. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 6:33 on Wall Street. I know I'm telling the truth. The words of the Supreme Court nominee. The very latest on that story now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh says he will not withdraw his name from consideration after a second woman came forward with sexual misconduct allegations. Kavanaugh told Fox News he intends to clear his name during Thursday's Senate hearing.
I'm not going to let false accusations drive us out of this process. And we're looking for a fair process where I can be heard and defend my integrity, my lifelong record of promoting dignity and equality for women, starting with the women who knew me when I was 14 years old. I'm not going anywhere.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says the FBI should be allowed to conduct a background investigation into this matter.
If President Trump and Senate Republicans are so certain the allegations against Judge Kavanaugh aren't true, why aren't they welcoming the FBI to look into it? Leader McConnell, you spent 5 minutes pointing your finger at Democrats. That shows someone who's in a pickle. That shows someone who's dug in a deep hole.
Bill Cosby will likely find out his sentence today for the comedian's conviction in the sexual assault of a woman in 2004. The DA is calling for 5 to 10 years in prison. President Trump said he's looking forward to meeting with Deputy Attorney General Ron Rosenstein on Thursday to discuss his future after a person familiar with the matter said Rosenstein told Chief of Staff John Kelly that he was resigning. President Trump will speak later today before the UN General Assembly. Trump will likely take aim at Iran over its nuclear program and ambitions in the Middle East. You can hear this morning's address right here on Bloomberg Radio in the 10 a.m. hour. President Trump didn't bring up any new areas of contention in his meeting with French President Emmanuel Macron. Yesterday's meeting took place on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly. French officials said the two leaders found areas of agreement over Iran and Syria. The meeting lasted about an hour. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:35 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning, John Stashower.
Morning, Bob. Final week, the regular season. Yankees playing 4 at Tampa Bay, then 3 in Boston before next Wednesday's one-game wild-card playoff game. They beat the Rays 4-1. That clinched the playoff berth for the A's, who later on won their game anyway. With both teams winning, Yanks remain game and a half ahead of Oakland, plus Yanks own the tiebreaker, so the odds are the playoff game will be in New York, but that's by no means definite. Yanks last night took a page from what Tampa Bay's been doing all season. They did not use a starting pitcher. Instead, they used 8 different relievers, and they combined in a 2-hitter, pleasing Aaron Boone.
One run, we'll take that, right? Yeah, it was a little different. You know, Holder kind of gets himself out of a jam there in the first inning, uncharacteristic, where he walks a couple guys. You know, he's usually so good at pounding the zone, but gets out of that. And then Tarpley was terrific. Sonny was good. And then the guys just rolled it out, and it worked out pretty well tonight. So a good all-around effort by obviously a lot of guys on the pitching staff.
Another Yankee injury, although not considered serious. Aaron Hicks left with a tight hamstring. More serious is Didi Gregorius' wrist, although he says it feels better. He's hopefully can play next week. A win for the Red Sox. They're 106. That's a club record. The 1912 Red Sox won 105. Monday Night Football, Steelers beat the Bucs 30-27. Tampa Bay QB Ryan Fitzpatrick came back to earth after two big games to start the season. He was intercepted 3 times in the first half. Ben Roethlisberger threw for 3 touchdowns. The Steelers were up by 20 at the half and then held on at the end. 49ers confirmed Jimmy Garoppolo's torn ACL. He'll be gone the rest of the season. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thanks very much. Now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Prime Minister Shinzo Abe of Japan looks set to remain in office till 2021, longer than any Japanese political leader since the days of the samurai. Abe deserves credit. The economy has grown for 9 of the last 10 quarters. Unemployment is near a 25-year low. Wages are creeping up. Abe rescued the Trans-Pacific Partnership after the U.S. withdrew and signed a bilateral free trade agreement with the European Union. But there are deep reforms to undertake. With no more elections to fight, Abe should take them on. Japan's seniority-based lifetime employment system chokes off mobility and helps to suppress wages. It needs to be changed. The economy could use more foreign workers. Better incentives are required for companies to hire and promote women to Japan's boardrooms. There's work to be done on deregulation, promoting entrepreneurship, and reviving regions outside Tokyo. If Abe did these things, Japan's longest-serving prime minister would have the accomplishments to match that record. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. New sexual misconduct allegations concerning Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh are prompting a discussion about possible replacements if he's not confirmed. Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons reports several women are on the shortlist.
One woman was recently under consideration, Amy Coney Barrett.
She's definitely someone who would fire up the base because she is a devout Catholic. She clerked for Antonin Scalia, a favorite Supreme Court Justice of conservatives.
Bloomberg Law's Patrick Gregory says Joan Larson is a Trump appointee.
She got 60 votes, and that's a lot of votes in this day and age.
Another woman is Britt Grant, who clerked for Brett Kavanaugh. At 40, some say she's lacking experience, but supporters like the fact she could serve for 40 years. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. Now, 6:39 on Wall Street, time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. If the Trump administration was hoping for a favorable audience at the first hearing on its proposal to roll back U.S. car emission standards, it didn't find one in smoggy Fresno, California. California officials, environmental advocates, electric car supporters, and residents turned out to criticize Trump's plan, complaining that it would endanger the health and economy of the state. Last month, the Environmental Protection Agency and the National Highway Safety Administration proposed freezing fuel efficiency requirements for cars at 37 miles per gallon in 2020, instead of letting them rise to 47 miles per gallon by 2025 under Obama-era regulations. Federal regulators say easing requirements for cars will keep their costs down and encourage people to trade in old vehicles for new, safer ones, reducing highway deaths. But California Attorney General Javier Becerra accused the administration of backsliding into the old way of doing business. And that refrain was echoed by speaker after speaker at the hearing on Monday. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures at this hour up 8 points. That is 0.25%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. And stay with us. Coming up in our D.C. segment, we'll check President Trump's address to the United Nations General Assembly in New York and the future of his Supreme Court nominee. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Futures are higher this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Gains in the U.S. futures right now with Dow futures up 72 points. S&P's gained 7 and NASDAQ futures climbed by 9. The U.S. 10-year yield hits 3.11%. Oil is climbing and Shanghai fell 0.8% overnight. Well, European markets are rising, led by 1.3% gains in Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, Richmond Fed and consumer confidence. And regarding earnings this morning, Jabil reports in the pre-market. In other news, Instagram's founders are leaving Facebook. Facebook is down 3% in the pre-market. And NVIDIA's price target raised to a street high 360 over at Bank of America. Wrapping things up, SiriusXM was downgraded to neutral over at Credit Suisse. Cypress Semi downgraded to sector weight over at KeyBank. And Chesapeake Energy downgraded to hold over at SunTrust. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh says he has never sexually assaulted anyone as he defended himself against allegations that threatened to unravel his confirmation. Kavanaugh, interviewed with his wife on Fox News, said President Donald Trump called him yesterday and he said he's standing by me. President Trump addresses the UN General Assembly today. The president is expected to take aim at Iran over its nuclear program and ambitions in the Middle East. You can hear the president's address live on Bloomberg Radio starting in the 10 a.m. hour, Wall Street time. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Red Sox beat the Orioles. The Nationals won along with the A's. The Giants lost. Monday Night Football, the Steelers beat the Buccaneers 30-27. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, if you love bacon, 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 bacon. Here in New York, Peter Sherman opened Bar Bacon in Hell's Kitchen 4 years ago. Now he's added a spot in Union Square. Dishes include Kentucky Fried Bacon Bites, a lamb bacon Reuben, and a burger with honey mustard glazed bacon. that you can wash down with bacon-infused bourbon. Bob, for dessert, there's chocolate-covered bacon topped with bacon whipped cream.
Uh-huh. Yeah, if you love bacon, you can never have too much bacon.
Derule, derule. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. Sound like a good strip. See what I did there? Yeah. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is bacon time, 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump addressing the United Nations General Assembly in New York. We will bring you his comments live in the 10 a.m. hour this morning. Meantime, Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh says he's not going anywhere, despite allegations of sexual assault. And President Trump has struck his first major trade deal, signing a renegotiated agreement with South Korea. Let's dig into these items a little deeper now with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning. Welcome. Let's begin with the latest on Brett Kavanaugh. The Supreme Court nominee took to Fox News last night to defend himself against allegations of sexual harassment. Here's what he had to say.
I've never sexually assaulted anyone. I did not have sexual intercourse or anything close to sexual intercourse in high school or for many years thereafter. And the girls from the schools I went to and I were
so
friends.
So you're saying that all through all these years that are in question, you were a virgin?
That's correct.
Kathleen, what more did we learn from Kavanaugh's comments last night?
Well, it was quite an extraordinary interview. It's actually unprecedented for a Supreme Court nominee to give media interview while he's going through the confirmation process. That's not happened before. Usually, Supreme Court nominees steer clear of media interviews while they're going through that process. He, you know, appeared alongside his wife. He was very defiant, at times emotional. And basically, his message was he never did anything close to what he's being accused of doing. I do think the clip that you just played, you know, the part about him being a virgin through high school was a bit odd because, you know, he's not actually accused of doing anything along those lines. But, you know, I mean, I think that his message was very clear. He's not going anywhere. Trump is sticking by him and he didn't do what he's accused of doing.
Now, Democratic critics say the interview that should be done isn't with Fox News, but with the FBI.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, I think this goes to the question of, you know, we're likely going to hear from Kavanaugh on Thursday. There's a hearing scheduled for then. We're the expectations we would hear from Ford there too. But I think Democrats' point is like a media interview is one thing, you know, to go on Fox News, which is obviously the president's favorite network, and, you know, proclaim your innocence is different from speaking with the FBI, which is going to ask, you know, more detailed questions. And, you know, I think the point is that if their Democrats' point is that, you know, if he truly has nothing to hide, then he should sit down with the FBI and be willing to answer whatever questions they have.
And they say that at minimum is what they did in the Anita Hill Clarence Thomas hearings. Kathleen, let's shift to the news and rumors swirling around Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. We had a lot of conflicting information on his status yesterday, including reports that he was resigning. That ended up not being the case, but he is meeting with the president on Thursday. What do we think will come out of that meeting?
Well, I think that this could be, you know, obviously a very pivotal meeting for Rosenstein. It was a very interesting day yesterday with all the different reports flying around. And, you know, I think Trump has kind of indicated, you know, he said he wants to meet with Rosenstein to see what's going on. So, you know, that kind of leaves open the possibility that he would, you know, still leave or be asked to leave. You know, this is all kind of being prompted by this New York Times interview that ran over the weekend that, you know, had Rosenstein, you know, talked about, said that Rosenstein had talked to other people about potentially wearing a wire to record Trump and or using the 25th Amendment to remove him from office. And so I think it would be interesting to be a fly on the wall in this meeting and to hear more about what the White House, you know, what Trump has to say to Rosenstein in light of, you know, these revelations that have come forward. And, you know, I don't think it's unreasonable to think that Rosenstein could still be heading for the exit.
President Trump takes to the international stage today to speak at the United Nations General Assembly. Give us a preview, if you will.
So a year ago, Trump spoke there and he took aim at North Korea. This time around, he's talking about Iran. And this is an issue. He's basically expected to take Iran to task over their nuclear program and their ambitions in the Middle East. And so I think that this is an issue that could be potentially rife with difficulty for Trump, because it's one in which the U.S. and the U.S.'s European allies are not in agreement. So Trump obviously is a huge critic of the Iran nuclear deal from 2015, which is something that the Europeans are still trying to kind of salvage, even without the U.S. So the fact that Trump is picking this topic to talk about, I think, is pretty significant and kind of in your face.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. It's now 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Liam Denning, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. OPEC didn't give President Trump what he wanted this weekend. The Oil Exporters Club isn't lifting supply targets in order to help out with gasoline prices ahead of U.S. midterm elections. Relying on OPEC to stabilize things is actually becoming ever less advisable. Outside of a few countries like Saudi Arabia, the group struggles to maintain, let alone grow, its oil production. Exhibit A, its own forecasts, which it just released. These show it losing market share to rivals like the US through the mid-2020s. Now, OPEC thinks it will regain the upper hand after that, but with peak demand potentially on the horizon and OPEC's own weaknesses to contend with, don't bank on the group becoming the oil producer of the future. I'm Liam Denning. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
Fresh competition in the battle for offering credit to small businesses. U.S. Bancorp's small business customers will now be able to apply for loans online. And Bloomberg's Jenny Serain says the process can take less than a day. That's compared with the roughly 11 days it takes when customers go into a branch.
For a long, long time, you know, it took a small business customer going into the branch, coming back multiple times, bringing in all these insane number of forms. And so you're really seeing the banks kind of follow the fintech's leads in this case.
Business owners within U.S. Bancorp's 25-state footprint will be able to electronically complete an application, review the loan details, and sign closing documents for loans up to $250,000. While small business still mostly seeks financing from banks, the share of applicants who turn to online lenders has grown steadily. And that's today's Bloomberg Small Business Report.
John Tucker, thank you. And again, futures are higher. S&P futures up 7 points this morning. Dow futures up 75. NASDAQ futures up 10. They have strengthened throughout the morning. The DAX in Germany is up 0.33%. The CAC in Paris up 0.3%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.5% now. 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds. Yield 3.11%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.83%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 49 cents to $72.57 a barrel. And COMEX gold, that'll change at $1,204.50 an ounce. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.